In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. We've got a lot of things happening at once this morning. For those of you who haven't been with us the last 7 weeks, let me catch you up to speed a bit. We've been in a sermon series focusing on exactly what changed with Easter, looking through a strange series of stories from the earliest days of the church, and we have another strange story this morning. When we look at these strange stories from the Acts of the Apostles, we've been asking, what changed? What changed for us? What does this mean for us? We conclude our sermon series next week with the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. But this morning we encounter another decidedly weird story. We begin with Paul becoming annoyed with a slave girl that is wandering around behind him telling everyone part of their message. Sure, I guess someone yelling behind me would be annoying all the time, but she is telling, at least in part, the truth. But he's still annoyed by her, and she apparently only knows the truth because she's possessed by an evil spirit. This shouldn't surprise us. We know that evil can recognize Jesus. It's not an impossible story. But like I said, this is one of those Bible stories that we read and we say, this is a strange, strange story. And Paul exercises. He exercises the spirit out of her only to land him and his companion Silas in prison. There an earthquake comes. It releases their chain. It frees them and they don't leave. They go on to stop the death of their jailer. They convert him to the way of Jesus. They baptize him and his whole household. The questions abound. Why did the earthquake happen? And if this was God getting them out of a jam, why didn't they leave? And then if they couldn't leave for someone, why didn't they stop the death of the jailer? Like I said, it's just weird, weird, weird. And in addition to another installment of our sermon series and another different and kind of strange story from Acts, you may have also heard it's Mother's Day. I have the privilege of standing between you and some good refreshments downstairs. I think some folks are honestly here in part just to see if I can weave all of these themes together into one sermon. But back to our story. It strikes me that this story is about at least two things. First, it is about the purpose of human beings. It's about why we exist and what's our end, what's our purpose, our meaning in life. And we learn about this from an unlikely source. This jailer, he's living something that is all too common for many of us, because the jailer found his entire purpose, meaning, and his entire reason for living in his job. You ever notice how whenever we meet someone, what do you do for a living? He found his entire purpose in his job. We learn later in the story that he apparently had a large household, many children, capable of throwing a party for some strangers in the middle of the night without warning. But for the jailer, his whole purpose seems to be his job, guarding prisoners. We know this because when the jailer awakes to find that the prisoner's freed, he thinks his purpose has ceased. But the jailer's near brush with death, it helps him to realize that he needs more than a job for a purpose. That's another way of putting this question he asks Paul. He asks him, "What must I do to be saved?" When he says that, the jailer is really giving voice to the cry of all humanity that has become too attached, too identified only by what we can produce, only by our labors. He is saying, "Paul, I realize the fact that you survived a flogging, and then when you had been freed by your God from this prison, you did not flee. You could only do that if your purpose is not inhibited by staying here." The jailer realized that Paul was living out his purpose right there. Right there in the jail with the jailer. And the jailer didn't want to be just a jailer anymore. Paul gives him a bigger purpose. believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. In this moment, the jailer is transformed from being someone who lives only for his job, a job which isn't that great in the first place. He guards a jail cell for a petty regional dictator. The jailer is now someone whose purpose in life is to believe in God, the God who became man, who rose again, and who ascended into heaven. Said the story was about at least two things. The story is also about the ministry that each of us share, the ministry shared by all those who know and love the Lord Jesus. We get to follow Paul's example. Should we find ourselves in a situation which is far from ideal, for Paul, this non-ideal situation was prison, but each of us have less dramatic and still far from perfect situations in our own lives. Should we find ourselves in a situation far from ideal, there are still people there who need to hear the word of Jesus. That is to say, there are people who need to know what you know, who need to know that they have a value beyond measure because God himself died for them, that they might know of his love, that they might have life and have it to the full. This story tells us that if we wish to follow in Paul's example, we will always be in a place where we can be a minister of the gospel. And perhaps no one needs such a word of hope like a mother. You may not have seen that coming. Probably wasn't imagined by the author of Acts. But mothers often have monotonous days filled with seemingly endless routine. Whether they work outside the home or labor at the house each day with the kids, moms encounter some of the least ideal situations imaginable day after day after day after day. And it can become a temptation to think it is impossible to do something on the behalf of the gospel in such a situation. I spoke to a mom support group a few times. I have honestly no idea where in my resume they thought that was a good idea. But they seemed to think it was a good idea for me to come back. And I spoke, and they were constantly saying, I want to serve God, I want to, but I have to get out of this phase. I have to get out of this chapter in my life. I have to get out of this routine so that I might go where I'm needed. But Paul calls each of us, moms included, to a higher purpose than where we are right now. Paul doesn't leave the prison because there's someone in front of him who needs the Lord. He doesn't need to go on to where he was going. He doesn't need to continue in his missionary journeys because the mission was right there in front of him. It said there's a lot going on this morning. As if this Sunday needed more weight, there's actually one more thing we should mention. The scriptures tell us that 40 days after the resurrection on Easter, Jesus ascended into heaven. The 40th day fell last Thursday. We marked it on the night before here with a service for the eve of the ascension. Today is the Sunday after the ascension. And in that ascension, that is, in the going up of Jesus into heaven after his resurrection, we know that the work of Jesus Christ on earth has been accepted and folded back in to the work of the Father and the Spirit in heaven. As Jesus goes up on the clouds, as we just sang, it shows us of his kingship, of his authority, and of the effectiveness of his work as he returns to heaven from whence he came on Christmas morning. And in so doing, he shows us everything changed because he shows us the ultimate destiny of humanity, reunion with God. He goes to heaven as an eternal human being. There is a human being in heaven. And we are to believe in Jesus, as Paul told that jailer. And in so doing, all of the petty little things of all of our lives, all the things we know moms face day in and day out, all the pains of our routines, all the opportunities we have to work on behalf of the gospel, they are all given merit as they have been done unto the Lord. There's no getting around it. Our lives here on earth are mundane from time to time. And we may be like that jailer, finding our identity entirely in our job. But Jesus goes to heaven, and in that he shows us our true destiny. He shows us that we are to believe in him, that we might join him in the eternal celebration around his throne. In the name of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.